Many years ago, probably before some of you were even a twinkle in your mother's eye, a friend of mine was trying to make a change with a local utility company. A change in address or payment method, I don't remember. They would not talk to her. She and her husband had different last names. The account was in both their names. And these were the days before the internet, before online accounts. You may not even be able to imagine that there was such a time. But there was no verification of identity, except maybe your phone number. It was a rather small town. Everyone knew everyone. There was no reason for them not to talk to her and make the changes to the account. Finally, in frustration, the husband got on the same phone call. He said, "This is Michael Smith. Please talk to my wife, Beth Stewart." And that's all it took. It was pretty ridiculous that it came to that. Later, the three of us had a long conversation about the whole dynamic. It hasn't been all that many years ago that a woman couldn't have a bank account in her own name or a credit card. We talked about the difference in rights and access for women and men. And eventually I asked Michael how he came to be such a feminist. And his response is one that I have kept and pondered in my heart over all these years. He said, "Because I know who I am, and I know whose I am." At my raised eyebrows, he said, "I know I come from the mother." This conversation didn't just stir thoughts about feminism or fairness. It rooted me into a deeper spiritual awareness. It invited me to wonder not only if I know where I come from, but whose I am. And do I know whose I am? To whom do I belong? To whom do we belong? And I wonder, what does it mean to know, to think about for a moment that we all came from a womb? That's how we got here. What does it mean to have a deep understanding that we come from the mother? Because my friend Michael wasn't talking about his own mother. He was speaking of that divine energy that we may call the Great Mother, the Goddess, the Divine or Sacred Feminine. It's a sacred energy that includes but is not limited to the qualities that we associate or may associate with motherhood or mothering: nurturing, intuition, wisdom, creativity, fierce protection, and healing. And there are several archetypes that express this concept. A basic search will talk about nature, creation, and nurturing. But I invite us to think more deeply and broadly about what it takes to give birth to something. If you've ever experienced it or witnessed a birth, human or otherwise, right, Frank? You know that in addition to months of gestation, of feeding, care, nausea, discomfort, giving birth includes very literally blood, sweat, and tears. Often in our starting point classes, when we ask if people have ever experienced or witnessed a miracle, giving birth or witnessing a birth is often mentioned. Indeed. There are many expressions of this goddess, sacred feminine, divine mother energy. She is called by different names: Isis, Mary, Aphrodite, Shakti, Kalima, Lakshmi, Brigid, Gaia. The list goes on and on and on. Each name offers a different lens into the same knowing. We come from the mother. We are of her. I wonder what it would be like to have grown up with this language for the divine. I didn't. Maybe some of you did. But I do know that no matter our religious upbringing, UU, Christian, Jewish, atheist, agnostic, humanist, we live in a society where the dominant culture is Christianity, and in particular, Christianity based on Calvinism. We're shaped by that culture, whether or not we subscribe to it. It's the water we swim in. Julia Ward Howe, who lived from 1819 to 1910 and became a Unitarian at the age of 22, is probably best known as the author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic. She was an abolitionist who worked to end slavery. She was a tireless advocate for women's rights and an international voice for peace. During a period of deep grief over the death of her father and two of her close friends, as many of us do, she turned to the religion of her upbringing. Her reading had already introduced her to more liberal ideas, but she wrote, after turning to this religion, "I studied my way out of all the mental agonies which Calvinism can engender and became a Unitarian." I imagine there are those of us who can relate to that, especially if we're here. In 1870, Julia Ward Howe published The Woman's Journal, a widely read suffragist magazine. That year, she also wrote her Appeal to Womanhood Throughout the World, later known as the Mother's Day Proclamation. She called women together not to honor motherhood as sentiment, but to organize for peace. In 1872, she proposed that Mother's Day be celebrated in June. Though her efforts didn't gain traction immediately, they deeply influenced Ann Jarvis, whose work led to the modern version of Mother's Day. The tendencies of silencing women, like Julia Ward Howe, began long before her. James William Kaler writes, "The omission and deliberate sidelining of Mary Magdalene by the early church is not just a historical oversight. It was an intentional act of control. Mary Magdalene was not just a follower of Christ. She was a figure of deep spiritual significance. The Gnostic texts, such as the Gospel of Mary," those are the ones that didn't make it into the Bible, into the canon, right? There were lots of them, just so you know, reveal that she was one of Jesus's closest disciples, understanding his teachings in ways that others did not. She was the first to witness the resurrection, a role of profound importance. Yet the church systematically diminished her status, transforming her into a prostitute and repentant sinner rather than acknowledging her wisdom and spiritual authority. Why? Because Mary Magdalene represented something that threatened the early church's power structure, the divine feminine, direct spiritual gnosis, and the idea that enlightenment is accessible to all, not just through an institution. The church, in consolidating its power, had no room for a woman who could be seen as an equal or even superior in understanding to the male disciples. By reducing her to a fallen woman, they ensured that she would not be viewed as a spiritual teacher or leader in her own right. This was not just about Mary Magdalene. It was about controlling the entire narrative of spirituality. By removing her, they diminished the role of women in spiritual leadership and reinforced a hierarchy where divine wisdom was mediated exclusively by the church. They shifted the focus from inner transformation to external obedience. But truth is resilient. The Magdalene legacy is being rediscovered, and many are beginning to see that she was not erased, just hidden beneath layers of distortion. As the veil continues to lift, we reclaim the wisdom that was denied, and with it the understanding that the divine is not confined to buildings, titles, or dogma. It is within us, within all of us. The old system knew this truth, but feared it. That's why they buried it. And they buried it for all of us, not just women, but for men too. But buried truth is not dead. It only waits to be unearthed. James William Kaler. I've had my own experience with the Magdalene during a guided visualization many years ago. She came to me as high priestess, unbidden, unexpected, and powerful, as my own high spiritual teacher. I didn't know what to do with it at the time. I knew her as has been presented. I wasn't even sure I was thinking of the same thing. But months later, after this visualization, when I got my first personal computer, it's hard to imagine now that we haven't had them all along, isn't it? I searched Magdalene. The screen filled with treasure troves of information about the divine feminine, sacred orders of the Magdalene, books and groups to explore. It was a portal to deeper understanding of my own spiritual journey, and yes, also of the larger story. Sadly, yesterday's Google search of Magdalene didn't yield the same results. Another reminder of how easily the divine feminine story can be suppressed. Because we live in a society that too often glorifies the power to take life over the sacred act of giving and nurturing life. Because obedience is valued more than inner transformation. And because inner transformation inevitably shines a light on how interdependent all of life is, and that is dangerous to the status quo. Julia Ward Howe's plea and proclamation was for peace. She urged women to stop their husbands from coming home, reeking of carnage, to stop their sons from unlearning what they'd been taught of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. She wrote this. She wrote this as a plea. Author Sue Monk Kidd, before she became known for her novels, The Secret Life of Bees and The Mermaid Chair, wrote The Dance of the Dissident Daughter, a memoir of her own journey from Christian tradition to the sacred feminine. She tells the story of a spiritual formation conference held at a Catholic retreat center, a mother house of nuns. The Catholic sisters weren't sponsoring it, just hosting it. The conference was mostly Protestants, half men and half women. And let's just say not everyone was thrilled with the topic of the sacred feminine. One afternoon, seeking refuge in the library, Kidd was summoned to the office of one of the sisters, and she found herself standing before a nun, an elderly nun in full habit, arms crossed. "I understand you've been speaking about the divine feminine," the nun said sternly. "Yes, ma'am," said Kidd. "And I also understand you've kicked up quite a hornet's nest." And Kidd nodded. And the nun paused. "Well," she said, "it's high time people realize that God is more than two men and a bird." And then she gave a little subversive smile. Even in the most unexpected places, truth rises. So I wonder, when you heard Bobby McFerrin's version of the 23rd Psalm, which our choir did so beautifully, "The Lord is my shepherd. She restores my soul. She rights my wrongs." Were you moved at all by the thought of God as mother? Did you think of earth as mother? She makes me lie down in green meadows. Beside still waters, she will lead. Did you take a deep breath? Did you see something in a new way? How did it resonate with you in this body and mind that you have? Was there resistance to it? Did it shift or change anything inside you? I invite you in these next few days to be with whatever comes up. Ponder that in your heart and mind. Let it hum in your body. In these days when women and minorities are erased from websites, removed from leadership because of their identities, stripped of jobs and dignity because of who they are, I ask you, do we remember who they are? That they come, they too come from the mother. Do we remember who we are? Do we know whose we are? Does it shift anything inside us to claim that we come from the mother, to honor, seek, and embody this sacred part of ourselves, to know we belong to each other? The divine feminine is not gender specific. It is not limited to those who identify as women. It is available to all of us as a source of strength, wisdom, creativity, and deep love. Divine mother energy is not confined to a body or to a religion. It is a force of fierce love, generative power, and holy compassion. And honestly, it can be healing for those who did not receive the love they deserve from those who gave birth to them. In a world that too often erases the feminine, let us be those who remember, who restore, who ask not only, who am I, but whose am I? And may the answer rise in us like a prayer, like a promise, like a song. We come from the mother, and we belong to each other. In these days, it may help save us and heal us and each other and the world. Blessed be.